You're on the mic with JD, an extraordinary show for ordinary people. Let's go. What's up, good people? So on this episode, we're going to be talking about what we're thankful for. And what I'm thankful for is my life. And I'm going to talk to you about a story of what happened to me a year ago, almost to the day. But, you know, and what I went through during that ordeal and how I recovered and how I'm still recovering. So I graduated from the Sergeant's Major Academy and, you know, I'm at the pinnacle of my career and I'm excited and I'm ready to get to my unit and my organization. And we make the trip up to North Carolina. We get situated and signed in. And, you know, I've been off jump status since 2015 and here we are 2020, coming back on. So 5 year break and a totally different parachute. So I was jumping the MC6 for those of you who are familiar with the MC6. And here at Fort Bragg in the unit I'm in, we jump the T11. So here at Fort Bragg, they have the airborne integration course and it's pretty cool. You know, it's a great way to end process, get to know the post. If you've never been here and kind of how the organization runs, but they also take you through your basic airborne refresher training. And then for those of you who have never jumped is basically your basic proficiencies for airborne operations, you know, just teaching you how to get back into the harness, teaching you how to land all over again, rules of the air and the right of ways of the paratrooper. So it was a great course. You know, they put you out of the 34-foot tower. You learn how to rig your ruck all over again. You learn your commands, how to exit the aircraft on multi-platforms. It's a great course. And the course is run by some true professionals here at the U.S. Army Advanced Airborne School. They really know their stuff and they really know what they're doing really well. So I definitely want to get that out in the open before I share my story. I signed to my unit in August, and the first day coming through the doors is the in-hour sequence starts for HKIA and NEO operation in Kabul, Afghanistan, and we haven't stopped since. Fast forward to September, I'm ready to conduct my first airborne operation. My hazardous duty orders are signed, ready to go. I'm on the jump. It's a C-130 door jump, you know, pretty typical, hanging out at the hangar, going through your rigging, JMPI, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. The aircraft are flying around. I'm in like the second lift, second pass, I believe, and I'm kind of like middle of the stack. So the first lift goes up. And, you know, they're flying around for a while and, they ended up having a heat cat or something like that. And they returned and, you know, all those jumpers, you know, had to exit the aircraft and derig and wait. And we boarded the aircraft first, or next. And, you know, we took off. And again, like I said, second pass. So we were doing what's called a racetrack. So you're circling the drop zone, jump masters, the aircraft crew are checking the wind speeds with the pathfinders on the ground. And, you know, we're racetracking a couple of times and winds are kind of high. But they ended up sending the first pass out. No issue. We racetracked again and, you know, we kept going around and then, you know, they said the winds were kind of high, but we're going to get out and, you know, continue mission. So We are given our commands in the aircraft, and as personnel are standing up, we're hooking up, we're checking our equipment, and then we're moving to the paratroop door. Again, I was in the middle of the stack. We're jumping Hollywood daytime. It's a Holland drop zone. If you're familiar, it's where we conduct JFE practice. And, you know, my first time jumping Holland, my first time jumping the T-11. And I've been out of the game for 5 years. And, I haven't jumped door since Fort Benning on Fryer drop zone in like 2006. Right. So been a hot minute since I went out the door. And, you know, so of course, you know, like anybody else getting back in the saddle, you know, anxieties are running and, you know, these thoughts are going through your head, but, you know, the green lights go and then you just go, right. And you're following, the person in front of you and the person behind you is pushing you and you're pushing the person in front of you until you exit the aircraft. So, you know, once the light goes green, in my mind, it's go time anyways. And everything I was thinking about is out the door, literally. And, you know, I had a good exit. And, you know, I looked up and I don't even think I had a twist, you know. So that's a good sign of a strong exit. You know, I was coming in backwards. And what I remembered and what I recalled was I was going pretty fast, you know, and during your basic airborne refresher, you know, part of it is, hey, high winds, high hands, you know, try not to pull a slip. Or if you do, hold what you got. Doesn't matter where you're going. You just kind of go with the flow, right? Wherever the wind takes you. And I'm getting closer to the ground and I'm like, man, I'm really going fast. And the last thing I remembered was, this is really going to hurt. So I'm trying to get up at this point and there's a bunch of people standing over me. I couldn't see anything. Everything was very blurry. You know, I'm just like, what is everybody doing? You know, and everybody's like, hey, pushing me down, stay down, stay down. You were injured. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I'm fine. You know, just let me up. And, you know, they're like, no, no, stay down. We got the medics coming. I'm like, what is going on? Right. I have no clue why everybody's around me. The only thing I remember was this is really going to hurt. And then it's everybody standing around me. Right. So it didn't dawn on me at the time that I was knocked out. I don't recall really ever being knocked out like that before. I've had my bell rung before. In a blast. And, but I was conscious through the whole thing and, never been knocked out. So this was a new thing for me. And I was kind of like, I guess I started freaking out. Like, what are y'all doing? Just get off me. And, you know, they kept me down. They just let me sit up, but they stayed with me the whole time. And, the medics came and the, FLA, which is a medical vehicle. And you know, the docs are tending to me. I'm, you know, finally about to get up and I was wobbling all over the place. Right. So at that point in time, I was like, man, I must have a concussion or, you know, my equilibrium's off. I'm like, everything's blurry and, I can't stand up straight without wanting to fall over. And, so I get into the back of the ambulance or the FLA and, you know, the medics are tending to me. I don't really remember what all tests they were doing, but, they were asking me a series of questions. It's an ad. Did I get knocked out? I was like, nah, I don't think so. You know, did I stay coherent? Yeah, I think so. Do you remember everything that happened? Yes. You know, because at the time it really didn't dawn on me still that I was knocked out and, you know, so we get to the hospital. It's a decent drive and we get there and, you know, they make sure that I contact my wife, let her know what happened, what's going on. I really didn't know what was going on, but I'm sitting there in a wheelchair and kind of like just in a daze. I was, you know, just blurry. Everything was just blurry. I had dirt all over the place inside my eyes, you know, in the eyelid. Like, I kept wiping my eyes. There is in my mouth, in my face, in my nose, you know. And I was like, how did this dirt get everywhere like this? Like, I have dirt everywhere, sticks, little leaves or whatever, everywhere. And I just, you know, I had no clue what happened. Time went by, the docs came out and they were like, hey, you know, have you been strangled? I was like, no. What are you talking about? What do you mean strangled? And they were like, have you even seen your face? I said, no, I haven't seen my face. And, you know, they wheeled me over to a mirror and helped me stand up. And I looked and, you know, he's like, you see all this particular hemorrhaging around your face and your eyes, your head. That is signs of strangulation. Do you not remember being strangled? I was like, no, I don't. But you say you were conscious the whole time. To my best recollection, yes, I was conscious the whole time. And, you know, we're having this conversation and, you know, he told me like, hey, you were knocked out and you were strangled. And, you know, I don't know how long you were out or how long you were without air, but that's exactly what happened to you. You know, we see it all the time. These are classic cases of signs for strangulation. So as time goes on, we're doing a series of tests, this and that. It's pretty late in the evening at this point, probably 1 or 2 in the morning. I finally get released to my wife. We get back home and they're like, hey, go make an appointment as soon as you can with the Intrepid Center here at Fort Bragg. You know, do some neuro testing. You definitely had a concussion. You know, you're on a dead man profile pretty much until further notice. So in the passing days, I could not do anything. I was sensitive to light. I couldn't stand up without falling over. And keep in mind, like, we had just moved. We just got our household goods. I could not do anything around the house. I couldn't lift a box. I couldn't help unpack. I was just sitting there pretty much useless at that point. And, you know, depression starts setting in and I start realizing that I really don't know what happened to me and I really need to find out. And I reached out to a couple of buddies of mine who was on the jump. And, you know, one of them was there. They came after the fact, but knew who the guys were that helped me out when I was knocked out. So once I get the contact information for one of the guys that helped me out, I was able to get a hold of him on the phone. He was on the first pass and on the ground, and he was watching the second pass. And for all the paratroopers out there, we have a thing called the Little Group of Paratroopers. And we ensure that everybody gets off the drop zone safely. We look out for one another. And if anybody's in need or in help, needs help, they're there to respond. And this individual was very vigilant in watching. He's seen me and he, you know, and the story goes like this. He's watching and he's seeing that I'm coming in fast. I'm coming in backwards. And he's telling me this, like he kept his eye on me the whole time. And he said that, you know, as I was coming in, when I hit the ground, he could tell the way that I hit and my body flipped up into the air, into the suspension lines of my parachute that I was knocked out. My body just went limp and he just took off running towards me. At that time, he said my parachute reinflated and started dragging me by my neck face down while the wind was blowing. So I was being drugged and strangled at the same time face down. So that put the, you know, in perspective, like, how did all this dirt, grass, sticks, leaves get in my hair, get in my face, get in my eyes, get in my mouth? It's all starting to make sense, like what he's telling me. And he tells me that he chases after me. He jumps on top of me. He kind of alligator rolls me over and my face is blue. He didn't have a knife on him. So the only thing he could do was hold me, hold the parachute or the suspension lines on the parachute, dig his fingers under my, in between my throat and the suspension lines and create a gap for air. He said, when he did that, I started gasping. So he knew I was still good. I was still alive. And he just held what he had and started yelling and screaming for somebody to come and come with a knife. And, as he's holding me, another paratrooper comes up with a knife and they start carefully cutting the suspension lines from around my neck. And I guess at this point is when I started to come back to, because he said as soon as the suspension lines were done and cut, that I regained consciousness. I started breathing. I started gasping. And then I started trying to get up. And at that point, you know, you kind of know what happened after that. But what I didn't know was how long I was out. I never got to ask him that, you know, how long it took. But on the flip side of that, what if he wasn't there? You know, I started thinking about that. Like, this is my first jump back on the job. I'm at the pinnacle of my career, and this is how it could have ended if I would have just been on the first pass. You know, think about, you know, I started thinking about that. Like, I am lucky to be alive, and I thank that individual every day. Every day I breathe and take a breath, I thank him, you know, and he calls me during the holidays and he texts me and, you know, we stay in touch. But he was my angel for that day. But there's so many things that I think about that could have went wrong, or if he wasn't there, I would have been dead, you know? And it just got me depressed. My anxiety through the roof. I kind of just reclused. I'm already an introvert, but I recluse from my family. I shut everything down and I couldn't deal with it. And I'm going through therapy, doing this cognitive testing. And, you know, even today, I still struggle with a lot of things, remembering things, simple things, and it gets frustrating, you know, but I'm thankful at the same time. I went through a lot in those months that followed that to get back to being me and trying to be a better version of me, because I realized at that point that none of this is guaranteed. You know, I've been in many sticky situations during a deployment, but this isn't the same. This is training. This is, you know, an admin thing. So I couldn't accept it that could have been how I went out. I could not get my head around it. And it messed with me for a while. It still messes with me, or I wouldn't be having this conversation. But I'm living my life better. I'm wanting to be better. And you know, this podcast right here is going to help me. It's therapeutic for me to talk about it. And, you know, in a sense, it's survivor's guilt. And I know there's a lot of people out there that have a similar story and wonder why they were given a second chance or a third chance at life. And, you know, it plays with you. It messes with your head. And, you know, like, you need an outlet. You need to be able to express that. You know, if you keep it bottled up, you're not fulfilling that extra chance that you got, you know. And if I was supposed to die on the drop zone, like the old song says, I don't think that would have been good enough for me. Because it wasn't in the face of the enemy. To me, it didn't feel like a warrior's death, you know. And, oh, by the way, the same thing happened to a young specialist a couple of months before that. She was on the first pass, and it was her re-enlistment jump. And nobody got to her in time. And she was strangled and died on the drop zone, re-enlisting, you know. So that messed with me. Right. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. But everybody's telling you, you know, you need to get better. You need to get back in the aircraft. You need to get back out, get your knees back in the breeze. You're a paratrooper. You know, that's what paratroopers do. And yeah, I live my life that way. Right. I'm not saying it's the smartest or, you know, the greatest advice, but it is a way, you know, get back on the saddle and ride again. And this happened in September. In January was my next jump. And that's how much I was getting after recovery. And I jumped the exact same drop zone, the exact same spot I was in. I came in backwards again, but I balled up like I was doing a cannonball into a damn pool. And I didn't pull no slip. I wasn't grabbing no risers. I just tucked my chin, held the back of my head to make sure it didn't snap back. And when I hit the ground, all that went away. It was a successful jump. I was happy. You know, I'm back. And, you know, it doesn't get rid of all of it, but you get over that fear, that anxiety, because I'm telling you, your stomach knots up. All the things are going through your head. And you're just like, here we go. All right. That door opens. That light goes green. And you forget about it all. You're pushing the one in front of you. You're following them out. And you're exiting strong. And again, it opened up. The chute opened up just like it was. No twist. I'm coming in. I'm coming in backwards again. I'm like, man, here we go again. Pretty much the exact same place I landed before. I just landed a little bit different this time. You know, like I said, I balled up. And when I hit, I rolled into my suspension lines. I was tangled up in them again. But I was conscious enough to be able to weave my way out. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the paratroopers that were on the ground to save my life, you know, and I'm thankful that they didn't care about the rank. They didn't care who I was. They cared about the paratrooper on the ground, and they responded. That's what the LGOP's about. That's what, you know, being a paratrooper's about, is taking care of one another, you know, regardless of who. There's no rank in the LGOP. You know, for those of you who know, there's no rank. Everybody is vital. Everybody counts. And those guys went above and beyond in my book, in my eyes, and saved my life, you know, in more ways than one. Because I live my life a lot different now. And I'm happy. And I'm glad it happened. I wish it would have happened sooner, because there's a lot of things that I wish I could have changed earlier, but I realized that I've been given another chance to do it right. And that's what I'm going to do, you know? And if I can help somebody get through that struggle, you know, and those feelings, don't be afraid to reach out. I'm here. There's a lot of people that are here. There's a lot of great sites that are out there, numbers, people that you can call. If you don't have one, you can call me. You can text me. You can email me. All my information's below. The struggle is real and it happens to everybody. And, you know, this is the story of how it happened to me. And it's Thanksgiving week and we need to be thankful for something. And I'm thankful for being alive. And I'm thankful for those paratroopers that were on the ground that saved my life that day. And I hope you guys stay blessed and, you know, have something that you're thankful for. And if you could, you know, share it with me, you know, I'd like to know. So till next time, good people, take care.